Oh God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth today might be honoring and pleasing to you. God, I pray that you would open our ears to hear what you want us to hear, that our minds would be open to understand, that our hearts would be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, meet us here and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are launching a new series today called The Big Dig, which that video pushed us towards and encouraged us in. This is a series about finding the willpower to tap deeply into our faith in the realities of our world. It's talking about how do we dig into who God created us to be? How do we dig into our belief in God? And how do we live that out as things are going on? Here's the great news about the Bible. The great news about the Bible is it gives us these incredible stories of real people who have to dig deeply into their faith in challenging times. We are about to head into Thanksgiving and Christmas. For some people, that's a very challenging season. And that's challenging for multiple reasons. We just prayed for saints, people who've left us. That's challenging because some families are difficult. And that's really hard. It's also challenging because it's financially hard for some people. So one of the reasons we wanted to do this series now is because of that. Another one is we're about to head into the election. And how do we dig deep in our faith, not just for the day we vote, but for the season afterwards? Our world is challenged. How do we pay attention to this and dig deeply into our faith? Now, today I want to talk about something that I alluded to a couple of weeks ago, but I want us to go deeper on it, and that's the idea of God's will. How do we dig deeply into God's will in our lives? And people come to me all the time. They say, I just want to know what God wants for me. How do we know that? How do we figure it out? How do we dive deeply into our faith to live into the will of God? Today's All Saints Day. When we celebrate it, my grandmother was one of the great giants of faith in my life. My grandmother, my mom's mom, was just this amazing person of faith who dealt with some really difficult realities in her life, but an incredible person of faith. And I remember I would say to my grandmother on anything, we called her Momo. My wife says I talk like I have marbles in my mouth when I say her name. We say, Momo. My wife's like, Momo. Right, Momo. We say, Momo, are you excited to go to the beach next week? And without fail, it did not matter what was going on in my grandmother's life. She would say, Lord willing, nothing happens. So we'd say, Momo, are you excited to go out to dinner for my birthday? Well, Lord willing, nothing happens. Because for her, God's will was everything. For her, it was God's will as to whatever happened in her life. Now we've come to understand and we've come to realize that we have human agency. So it's not simply God's will. We have human agency in our response. But our desire, kind of like the Finding Nemo movie with the turtles, our desire is to stay in the flow of God's will in our lives. That's our heart's desire. That's what people want to do. Now, they want to do it when it comes to a job. I've even had people tell me on both sides of the conversation, I know which candidate is God's will for the United States. And I'm like, oh, by all means, tell me. I'd love to know. Please enlighten me. Usually it's through Facebook, but enlighten me. I would love to know who that person is that's going to save the world. I thought that was Jesus, but it would be easy for us to say that God's will is impossible to understand, so just throw it out. It'd be easy for us to go, well, we can't really know God's will, so let's not allow that to be part of the conversation. The problem with that is God longs for us to be in God's will. The problem is God's will is the best thing for us. So when we don't even long to even figure out what God's will is, we find ourselves in a place where we're just sort of floating out there. I had a conversation with somebody recently who had pulled out of one of those parking lots, and there was somebody who was unhoused in the parking lot. And the other person who was in the car with them had given them money, and a pretty substantial amount of money. And the person who was with them in the car said, well, how do you know that person's not going to use that money for something bad? And the person who was driving said, that's not mine to decide. The person who was driving said, I believe God's will is for us to help those who are poor. and help those who are in need. And if that person decides to use that money for something that's unhealthy, that's on them. But my job as a person who follows Jesus is to serve the poor and is to care for the poor. Now, that's not me saying take all your money and go give it out. But that is me saying God's will is for the oppressed and the poor to have what they need. So that person understands what it means to live within the will of God. When we reject people who are in poverty, we are rejecting God's will. That's just the truth. C.S. Lewis, who you may know because of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Chronicles of Narnia, he was much more than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Chronicles of Narnia, but he had this quote that I love. He said, "There are two kinds of people. Those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says, 'All right then, have it your way.'" Think about that for a half second. Thy will be done versus God saying, "All right then, have it your way." See, I grew up in a tradition where I thought understanding the will of God made it so that I was doing what I was supposed to do. But what I've come to understand the more that I've studied scripture, the more that I've dug more deeply into my faith, is that understanding the will of God is to understand that which will bring better things to my life and to the world. Understanding the will of God is not just about me, it's about the entirety of humanity. And how we live in that is really, really important. See, when we focus on me instead of on us, when we focus on our impulses instead of God's desire, it never ends up the best way. It just doesn't. And we see this with people who lose relationship after relationship but refuse to seek help that's offered. We see this in people who gossip, who draw energy from drama of fractured relationships instead of seeking peace and harmony. We see this in people who walk right by people in need. See, it's not about God's will for me for breakfast. It's about God's will for me in relationship to God and humanity. What does God long for me in my life? And I've come to understand that when I will speak for me, I will not speak for you. When I ignore God, it doesn't go well. When I ignore God's will for my life, I find myself down a road that I didn't want to go down. When I ignore God's will for my life, it's challenging. In order to do God's will, this is where the D comes from in the word dig, we have to desire God's will. In order to do it, we have to long for it. It's like anything, right? Health. If you want to be healthy, you got to desire to be healthy. Right? If you want to do God's will, you've got to desire and long for God's will. I'm going to take this a little bit further. I'm going to look at one of the coolest stories in all of the Bible. This is in the book of Judges, and there's an introduction of a woman by the name of Deborah in this book. And if you haven't read about Deborah, you need to read it. She's a judge, which is really, really cool, and she's a prophet, which is also really, really cool. So I want to read to you Judges 4, 1 to 8 today. After Ehud had died, the Israelites again did things that the Lord saw as evil. So the Lord gave them over to King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, and he was stationed in Harosheth HaGoyim. The Israelites cried out to the Lord because Sisera had 900 iron chariots and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lebidoth, was a leader of Israel at the time. She would sit under Deborah's palm tree between Ramah and Bethel in the Ephraim highlands, and the Israelites would come to her to settle disputes. She sent word to Barak, Abinoam's son from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Hasn't the Lord, Israel's God, issued you a command? Go and assemble at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 men from the people of Naphtali and Zebulun with you. I'll lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, to assemble with his chariots and troops against you at the Kishon River, and then I'll help you overpower him." Barak replied to her, "If you go with me, I'll go, but if not, I won't go." Now, just a real quick word about words in scripture. It doesn't matter how you say them if you say them fast enough. Who cares what the names were, right? That's not the important point. The important point is the king, King Jabin, the Canaanite, he has an army commander named Sisera, and they have 900 iron chariots. and they're taking more and more land from the people of Israel, and they're taking the good land, the fertile land, the land that gives them the money and the resources that they need. And then I want you to see this next part. It says, the Israelites cried out to the Lord because Sisera had 900 iron chariots and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly for 20 years. They have this general. The Israelites also have a general. His name is Barak, but he has a problem. He has a lot of men that he can take into battle, but he doesn't have all the technology. He doesn't have the iron chariots. He doesn't have all the things. So he's fearful. He says, we can't do this. We can't go to war. We can't make this happen. We can't dive into this. He understands that they have an advantage over them. They have been winning battles for over 20 years, and Barak is afraid. Now, here's the truth. His fear is based on facts. And that's the thing about following God's will. Fear often keeps us from following God's will. Right? We may sense that God wants us to go take a new job, not a specific job, but to get out of the toxic environment that we're in. But we are fearful to step out. We may sense that God is calling us to go talk to someone, a new neighbor, but we are fearful of going to do that. That fear is a real thing. Now, what do we do when we won't submit to God's will because of fear and our life falls apart? And that fear overtakes us. How do we respond? Here's the response. Find somebody who doesn't have fear about it. Find a faithful person in your life who will push you, who will encourage you, who will walk with you. Find that person. And if you don't have a person in your life who can do that, I want to encourage you, let the church help you find one. Find that person who will challenge you, who will push you, who will help you have the courage to do God's will. Now, I said to you that Deborah was a judge. A judge at that time was somebody that they would come to settle disputes. Think less of sitting up on a courtroom and making those sort of decisions. Somebody that two people would come to and they would say, based on the law, what do we do? So they go to Deborah's tree. And they go to Deborah, this amazing leader who's also a prophet, and they say, we need you to take care of this. Now, what's interesting is the Bible very rarely mentions women by name. But not Deborah. Deborah's powerful. Maybe the Bible should have mentioned a few more women by name. But the Bible mentions Deborah by name and says Deborah is this prophet and this judge who's coming to give really helpful information. She was a person whose faith was so deep in God that people trusted her. They came to her. They asked the question. So I'm wondering, do you have a Deborah in your life? Is there a person when you're trying to make a big decision or something and you're trying to decide how you do something, do you call your Deborah? So you may go home today and you may pick up the phone and call somebody and say, hey, you're my Deborah. They're going to be very confused. Help them understand what you're talking about. Who's your Deborah that pushes you, that encourages you, that moves you past fear? I have this dear friend. He's another pastor. He's such a good friend, and he's a little further away. But anytime I have something in my life that's big that I need to make a decision on, I'll usually give him a call. We'll have lunch. Because here's what happens. I recently had something I needed to make a decision on, and I went to have lunch with him, and I said, hey, I've made this decision. He said, I think you need to go back and pray a little more. And I said, what do you mean? He said, it's not that I'm trying to change your mind. He said, I think God might have more for you than you think. Find yourself that person in your life. Someone that will push you beyond where you are. Some people do it here in this church in small groups. And they're in their small groups and they have these people who've walked through life with them. People have circles, which are something that we used to do, but people have hung on to. People that will push them and encourage them in their faith. I have a group of guys that I talk to every Thursday. They push me. They challenge me. I can't tell you the number of times I've come off those calls and I've said, I think I know what to do now. Because we spend that time together. Find yourself that Deborah. Now understand that if you don't, God might send that person to you. And you should listen to them. You should pay attention to them. Deborah just shows up in this story. And she's having this talk with Barak, a man who needed a good word from a woman. It says, she sent word to Barak, Abinoam's son from Kadesh to Naphtali, and said to him, hasn't the Lord Israel's God issued you a command? Go and assemble at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 men from the people of Naphtali and Zebulun with you. She essentially says, oh, for goodness sakes, just do it. Follow what God is telling you to do. Put yourself out there. Now, here's the interesting thing. Barak could have created a list of reasons why he wouldn't listen to her. He outranked her, right? He's the leader. He was, after all, a man. That could have outranked what she said. He could have said, I don't have time. I'm a general, but he doesn't. Because he sensed that God was giving him a word through Deborah. And he sensed he needed to respond. My question is, are you able to believe for yourself that the God of the universe loves you so much that God's willing to send you a Deborah? That the God of the universe loves you so much that God has a will for your life that's beyond what you may understand? And that it's not something to punish you or keep you in a box. Oh no, friends. It's something to push you creatively. It's something to push you so that you can flow within the will of God. Are you able to believe that? Because I'll tell you, here's the great thing about faithful company. And I'll go back to my grandmother for a minute. My grandmother was such a faithful person that I loved being with her. Faithful people, you love being with them. You love them because they sharpen you. You love them because they push you. But you love them because ultimately what you know is they love you and they care about you. Barak does this so well. Look at what he says in verse 8. Barak replied to her, if you'll go with me, I'll go. But if not, I won't go. I love that. He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't try to figure it out. He simply says, all right, if you go, I'll go with you. We can do this together, he says. Friends, I want to encourage you just to take just a couple of moments right here. And I want to encourage you to think about, do you have a Deborah in your life? Do you desire God's will enough to engage that Deborah in whatever that Deborah is pushing you or encourage you? So take a moment. If you don't have a Deborah, I want to encourage you, reach out to one of your pastors. Reach out to us and say, I'm looking for a Deborah. Let us help you navigate that. Let us help you walk through that. And by all means, believe that the God of the universe loves you enough to bring it to you. Amen.